शांति। Today is the third session of Raj Yoga meditation. What yoga is, we now all know. Yoga means a connection, a link, a joint, a meeting, a communion. And Raj Yoga means connection with the highest on high, the Supreme Being. And the method is also the highest, and the attainments are also the highest. So today we will understand what is the art and the science of Raj Yoga meditation. In today's world, as we look around, there are many different views about meditation, many different schools of thoughts. All people try to teach meditation because they think that meditation is, of course, very important. It tranquils the mind, it calms us, it gives us great peace, and therefore people want to learn meditation. And if somebody has suffered a heart attack, it must have been because of a lot of stress and strain in his life. So many problems he must have faced, and that affected his heart and he got a heart attack. And when he got a heart attack, although he didn't die, but the doctors will definitely advise that person, low cholesterol diet, light exercises, and the third thing is meditation. Because 80% of all our physical ailments are because of the mind. That is why we say 80% of diseases are psychosomatic. 20% may be for other reasons that there are physical diseases. But 80% are psychosomatic. Psycho comes before somatic. That means it's the mind. And if the mind is corrected, automatically 80% of the diseases will not come. And that is why meditation is prescribed by medical professions. So what exactly is the true form of Raj Yoga meditation? Because there are so many views and people are really so confused. Some are of the opinion that meditation means to just stop your thoughts, become blank, no thoughts at all in the mind. Actually, even if we try to do that, we have to first of all have the thought, I must not think, I must not think. In order to stop thoughts, I have to think that I must not think, I must not think, I must stop my thoughts. So even to think that is thinking, is it not? And actually you really cannot stop thinking, because the work of the mind is to think. Now if you have eyes, you'll definitely want to see. Okay, you can shut your eyes for a while. But then definitely you don't like to see darkness around you if you have good eyesight. So to meditation does not mean to stop thoughts. It is just like making a horse not run. The horse is meant to run. The horse is meant to work. You can't just keep it in a stable, just keep on giving it food and grass and then, okay, sit down. Don't do anything. That's why there's also a saying, An empty mind is a devil's workshop. You try to make your mind empty, it will turn into a devil's workshop. It's like a small child who is very active, and you try to make that child just become inactive, stop him from doing anything, tie him, you know, whatever, so that he is not able to do anything. Actually, in this way, you are really stopping his creativity too. So really, it's not helping the child if you are making it just not do anything. But then if it's a hyperactive child, and you can't control that child, a mother sometimes says, okay, do whatever you want to do, because he's hyperactive, he just can't stay quiet. So what will that hyperactive child do? You give it all the freedom to do whatever it wants. It will become such a vagabond. It will drop things, throw things, break things, you know, run here and there, create so much havoc at home. So a sensible mother will do neither of the two. Nor will she tie the child, because that will finish the creativity of the child. And secondly, it will not just let it do what it wants to do. What will a sensible mother do? She will give him work to do. Do this, do this. Some creative works, you know, nowadays are children's games. They're very creative. And the child is thinking, using that mind in that. And it becomes so creative. So too, mind is like a naughty horse, no doubt. It's like a naughty child. But then, it's very creative too. And as it is creative, just stopping thoughts will not help. But if we just let our thoughts, you know, mind think whatever it wants to think, then it will become like a vagabond, you know. There are so many thoughts of the world it can think. So we don't have to do either of the two. But we have to have that creativity in the mind. And that is like diverting the mind to that Supreme Being. And therefore we say in Hindi, the beautiful rhyming words, man ko daman mat karo. Daman means to suppress. Don't suppress your mind, because if you want to stop your thoughts, means you're suppressing your mind. Daman bhi nahi karo. Par man ko aman karna hai. Aman means peace. So, aman karna hai, to man ko suman karo. Suman. Suman means beautiful thoughts. Creative thoughts. And those creative thoughts, which are very positive thoughts, they will tranquil your mind. Because the saying goes, as you think, so shall you become. And therefore in Raj Yoga meditation, we don't try to stop our thoughts, but we try to have those positive thoughts about the soul. Because I want to experience peace. But if I say, I'm peaceless, I will never experience peace. However much I may try, but you're saying I'm peaceless. So how can you experience peace? And therefore we say, don't say that, I am peaceless, but say, I am a peaceful soul. And the moment you say, I am a peaceful soul, because that's what you really are. And the moment you say that, immediately you'll experience peace. And that's why I made you all say the first word, Om Shanti. Om Shanti means, I am a peaceful soul. The nature of the soul is peace. So I am that peaceful soul. And when I'm aware of myself as a peaceful soul, no one in the world can make me peaceless. Because I know who I am. You know, somebody is harassing you, troubling you, shouting at you, you know, speaking bad words to you, whatever. But if you have your self-respect, you will not be affected. But if there's ego, how dare he tell me this, then you'll be affected. But self-respect means you know who you are And that person probably doesn't know who I am. And therefore, okay, it's whatever he thinks, you can't stop anybody. No one in this world can be stopped, you know. Freedom of speech, everyone has. He can say whatever he wants to. It will not affect me because I have my self-respect. And therefore, I am what I think. And what I think, I become. So if I think I am peaceless, however much anybody tries to make me peaceful, by satisfying all my desires, whatever, I will never become peaceful. But if I say I am a peaceful soul, and we usually say it three times, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I am a peaceful soul, that is my nature is peace. Secondly, I am the child of the ocean of peace. Whose child am I? The God, the Supreme, the ocean of peace. And my residence, my abode, is the home of peace. I have come from that abode of peace. So if my nature is peace, my father is the ocean of peace, my home is the abode of peace, can I be peaceless? Can I be? If somebody has a lot of money in the bank on his name, you know, and his father too is very rich, and he has lots of property, and if he says, I'm a pauper, I don't have anything, you know, it's foolish, no? He has so much, how can he say that? So if I'm saying I'm peaceless, it means I am ignorant of my true self. And that is why we pray to God for knowledge. Knowledge, enlightenment. Asato ma sat gamaya. God, take me from untruth to truth. Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya. Take me from darkness to light. Mrityu ma amritam gamaya. Take me from mortality to immortality. This is what enlightenment does. It gives us the awareness of who I am, and whom do I belong to, and from where have I come. And once I'm aware of this, peace comes instantly. Peace doesn't come when I'm trying to stop my thoughts. And therefore, meditation does not really mean to stop thoughts. Secondly, some people say that it means to meditate, you have to force your mind to think something. We say we don't even have to force our mind. It can be very natural. It can be very, very natural. Just like a child, does it have to force itself to remember his mother or father? Does a student have to force himself to remember his teacher? No, it's nothing like forcing the self. So you don't have to force yourself to think something. It should be natural. It should be like a self-awareness. So that self-awareness comes, of course, through practice, no doubt. Because now we are so body-conscious that self-awareness isn't there. We are aware of the self only as this physical body. But I am an entity separate from this body. We hardly think of it. Or we don't even know about it, and therefore we pray to God for knowledge, for enlightenment, for taking us from darkness to light, from mortality to immortality, because in my true nature, I'm actually an immortal soul. I'm not this body. I don't have to fear death because I never die. I was never born. I existed even before this body came into existence, and I will continue to exist even after this body perishes. So that awareness is the enlightenment. That will take me from mortality to immortality, from untruth to truth. You know, there's a very interesting factor. In science, what we say, seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. Whatever you see, you believe. If you don't see, you can't believe. Okay, even if you can't see, at least you experience, you know, in a physical way, we can measure it. Then you'll believe, otherwise you don't want to believe. And now this voice cannot be seen, but it can definitely be measured, no doubt. But then we'll say, okay, this is truth. But about the soul, you can't see it. You can definitely experience it, but for that you need some enlightenment. So science will say that seeing is believing, but spirituality will say whatever you see is all untruth. Science will say whatever you see is the truth. And spirituality will say whatever you see is all untruth. Because the definition of truth is different. The definition of truth in spirituality is that which is eternal, that which is never created, that which never gets destroyed, that which is unchanging. That's the truth. And that which has been created, and once it will be, and then it will be destroyed, and it's always changing, it's not the truth. Like a person, for example, he wants to hide the truth. He doesn't want to say what really happened. And he's hiding that truth, and in order to hide that truth, he will speak one lie. And now in order to prove that lie, how many lies he'll have to speak? Won't he have to speak so many lies in order to prove that lie? That means to prove, to not say the truth, he'll have to tell many lies, and he'll have to keep on changing and changing and changing and changing. But if he's speaking the truth, he need not change at all, because truth is truth. Truth is eternal. And when we understand this, we understand the true meaning of spirituality too. Because whatever we see physically is always changing. Nothing is eternal. Every 10 years, all the cells in your body change. All the cells. They all change. Everything in matter is always changing. And that's why in management they say that in this world, everything is changing except change. Change is eternal. So what does that mean? And something which is changing, spirituality will say it is untruth. So what is the truth? The truth is really soul. Truth is really the supreme soul. Matter is also truth, no doubt. There are two aspects of matter, or what we call as physical energy. Two aspects of it. One aspect is that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Matter or energy can never be created nor destroyed. It can only change its form from one to the other, but total sum will remain the same. Now, if we think of this, definitely matter, the five elements, are eternal. Nobody created these five elements. But the second part is that it's always changing. It can change from one to the other. Energy changes, no doubt. But then the total sum will be the same. So if total sum is the same, it means it is eternal. It only changes, but then comes back to the origin. So we say this is the eternity of matter. So matter is also the truth, but it's changing. That's why it's compared to a cycle. Everything in this world is a cycle. So soul, supreme soul, matter are all eternal entities. But then the supreme soul is eternal in the sense that even the change is in there. Like how matter changes. Supreme soul is unchanging. Anadi avinashi, we say. But for the soul also it is unchanging. It's a point of light, and that it remains a point of light. But then it goes through different stages of sato, rajo and tamo, because it comes in contact with nature. Because nature or matter goes through three gunas, sato, rajo and tamo. And the soul is affected by this sato, rajo and tamo. And that's why we say papatma, punyatma, dharmatma, mahatma. Great soul, bad soul, you know. Soul is affected, the sanskars are definitely affected by the company. And therefore, when we say that I have to now meditate, I don't have to force myself, but I have to just become aware of who I am. There's a very interesting story about a prince. How, you know, that child was lost. Maybe he went with his father, and how in a jungle, and then the child just went away with a herd of goats and sheep, and it got lost. The father tried to search but couldn't find. He was a king. And then one fine day he saw a child, you know, with hands and legs moving like a goat or a sheep. And he said, "What is this? A child going with a herd of sheep and cattle?" And then when nearby, he saw that his own son was there, his own child, it was there. He was a human being. And then he brought his child home and told him, "You are a prince." He said, "No, I'm a goat. I'm a sheep, whatever." But then the father gave him his company. And of course, he was a prince. So whatever was inborn in him, that was revealed. But that being in the company of the herd of sheep or goats or whatever, that made him feel that he was like one of them. But later on, when he came in the company of the king, he realized, oh, he's a prince. So realization came later through that awareness. And the awareness came when he was in the company of his father, and the father made him become aware, who are you? Understand yourself, who you are. And therefore, we don't have to force ourselves. But then that awareness has to come from within. I am a soul. My nature is peace. I belong to the abode of peace. I'm the child of the ocean of peace. And instantly I'll become peaceful. It's not forcing. It should come naturally. Because I'm an entity separate from this body. I'm only a guest on this world stage. That thinking, that creative mind has to be there in a very positive way. And therefore it's not forcing the mind. The third, some people say, "I can't meditate because my mind is too speedy." We say, why the mind is speedy? Because there's negativity in the mind. And the negativity is because of body consciousness. This body consciousness, the physical I, my, all that will lead to all very negative thoughts. And those negative thoughts will make my mind very speedy. Definitely. But if I'm able to create positive thoughts in the mind, because this is an art. When we talk about the art of positive thinking, in which you have a very balanced mind, that is the art. Somebody may be walking on the footpath and still he can fall. He can, you know, just fall because of some ups and downs on the path. But then a person who's walking on a rope without any support, still he will not fall. Why? Because he knows how to balance himself. He has that practice. He has that power of concentration. He knows that he has to reach that goal. So his mind will not go anywhere else, and he'll be able to maintain a proper balance and reach his destination. This is an art. So what we call as the art of living. How to live. Just breathing alone is not living. Even animals breathe, birds breathe, insects breathe. Is that what living is? Because I'm breathing, I'm living. But we have to learn the art of living. How, if there is sorrow, you know, all these vices and all the stress and strain in life. Actually, life is a burden. But if there's peace, if there's love, if there's happiness, if there's bliss, if there is tranquility, if there is, you know, feeling of brotherhood and helping others, you know, all these good qualities we talk about. If that is there, then life is a blessing of God. And we say human life is a very blessed life. Human life is a life worth diamonds. That's why Kabir, a very great saint, he said it. Manav jivan hire tulya hai. परंतु हमने अपने कर्मों से इसको कौड़ी तुल्य बना दिया है. वी हैव मेड इट वर्थ शेल्स बिकॉज वी हैव फॉरगॉटन हाउ टू लिव. वी हैव फॉरगॉटन द रियल आर्ट ऑफ लिविंग. एन आर्ट ऑफ लिविंग मीन्स अवेयरनेस ऑफ योर सेल्फ. सो वाई द माइंड इज स्पीडी बिकॉज ऑफ नेगेटिव थिंकिंग. दे से यू नो इवन अदरवाइज इट इज सेड दैट supposing you are just told, please be silent for a minute. But even in that 1 minute, you'll at least have 30 thoughts. 30 thoughts, that is one thought in 2 seconds. You'll at least have, in spite of being told that please we'll maintain silence. Okay, words you may not speak, but mind is again thinking. But if you are in stress, then it will be like opposite. 2 thoughts in 1 second. That is why your mind becomes speedy. Otherwise, normally you don't have to think much. And therefore we say, why some can't meditate? Because of the negative thinking in them. So if we really know the art of positive thinking, how to think positive in every situation, then your mind will never be speedy, and that art God teaches us through meditation. Then some say, okay, if I want to meditate, I need to have been in a certain posture. You say, no, you can sit on a sofa, chair, whatever, doesn't matter. It's not that you have to sit in Padmasana and only then you can meditate. Not necessary. We say it's not the Padmasana in a physical way, lotus posture, but actually it is the Padmasana in your mind. Kamal jaise asan nahi, par kamal jaisa jeevan. Padmasana in the mind means lotus-like mind. The lotus grows in a muddy pond and yet it remains unaffected. That's how our mind should be, to not be affected by the adverse situations. It's like conditioning yourself. Just like you are in a air-conditioned room, you have just set your temperature to 25 degrees and outside it is 40 degrees. But because you have conditioned your temperature in your room, you won't feel the heat of 40 degrees. You will be in 25 degrees only. So just as that conditioning is so easy to do, why not conditioning the mind? You know, that's why it's again very beautiful saying by Kabir, Dukh mein simran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. When one is happy, he never remembers God. But only when there's sorrow, oh God. But jo sukh mein kare, to dukh kahe ko hoi. If one does even in happiness, he has conditioned his mind, then there'll never be unhappiness. Because he knows what to think and what not to think. Somebody can be unhappy even in the state of happiness. And somebody can be happy even in the state of unhappiness. It's all in the mind. And when I understand this, I don't need a physical posture for that. Supposing somebody is suffering from rheumatism, arthritis, how can he sit in a lotus posture? He just can't. It doesn't mean that he can't meditate. Then some people have another view. They think, well, I can't meditate because where I'm living is so much noisy there. The surroundings are very noisy and I just can't meditate. I need a lot of silence for that. You say, not necessary. Even with lots of sound around, you can still meditate. You have experience of it. Supposing you are thinking something in your mind and somebody is trying to speak to you, or children are crying, whatever is happening, but you are engrossed in something, then you don't hear all that because you are engrossed in something very deep. You are totally busy in that. And very often I'm thinking of something and somebody is speaking to me, but still I'm not hearing. And then he'll say, did you hear? I'll say, I'm so sorry, I was thinking about something, you know. I was thinking about something and therefore I could not hear you. So in spite of that being heard, the ears are hearing, but the mind is not hearing. So the surroundings can never really become a cause of distraction. Yes, in giving knowledge they can. Now if I am speaking and there is a large sound, you will not be able to hear my voice because the voices will clash, the sounds will clash. But in meditation it will not clash because my inner mind is having that great awareness, that elevated stage. Then some have another view. They say in meditation you have to concentrate on your breath, because there are some meditations where they concentrate on the breath, inhaling and then stopping, exhaling and counting the breathing and all that. But Rajyoga meditation is not that. Actually that we say this breathing is normal. On the contrary, if you are stressed, then your breathing will become very high. But if you are normal, your breathing will also be normal. There won't be any problem. So why should we be thinking only about that? That is a natural state of life, of living. We are all breathing, no doubt. It's not the only thing in life. But that's affected if the mind is affected. So if I know how to keep my mind tranquil, this will be automatically normal. So what that is, how to understand myself, how to understand the Supreme, how to understand my home, how to connect. And if we can do that, then definitely my breathing will not be affected and that will not be a problem at all. Then there are some who say, okay, I want to meditate, but then I'll have to close my eyes and I just can't close my eyes whole day. We say, who tells you to close your eyes to meditate? You can do it with open eyes also. You can do whilst driving, you can do whilst, you know, mothers can do whilst cooking, anything. You can still meditate. A wife is remembering her husband and is cooking. Does she have to close her eyes to remember her husband? Does she? Because there's some relationship, and where the relationship is, you don't have to close your eyes to remember that thing. So if with open eyes, on the contrary, we say it's better. Because if you sit and keep your eyes shut, then a time may come where instead of Raj Yoga, it can become Nidra Yoga. You'll go to sleep. And then when I ask you, okay brother, what did you experience? Oh sister, very peaceful. But that peace was of sleep, not of meditation. And therefore we really advise to keep the eyes open to meditate. Therefore you see many tapasvis, half eyes open, you know. And then some try to concentrate on a dot on the wall, you know. They do tratak also. So they keep their eyes quite open, wide open. So actually just closing eyes, on the contrary, may widen your area of thoughts. Your mind can go very fast. Because you have closed your eyes. On the contrary, if your eyes are open, you'll be able to see and then concentrate on it. So that will help you. And therefore we say, no need to shut your eyes. Then some say it is good for me, but it is boring. Now why do some people find meditation boring? Because they are given some mantra to chant. Now for example, you all chanted Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. But you took it at the physical level, Om Namo Shivaya. You know, it was helping with your breathing. It's fine, no doubt. It helps to some extent. But then it can become very boring because you are repeatedly doing the same thing again and again. And if you do anything again and again, repeatedly, same thing, you can get bored. Because the mind is creative, it wants something new all the time, novelty, novice, all the time. And in Raj Yoga meditation, we understand how to have that newness all the time. For example, I tell you, okay, chant Om Namo Shivaya 100,000 times during the whole day. And you keep chanting 100,000 times, maybe 1,000 at a time. 1 lakh, 100,000. And so 100 at a time or 1,000 at a time you are chanting, and then 100 times during the whole day. Now you will be counting. 10 times I have done, 20 times I have done, how many have you? 200 times. So 90 times, 99 times and 100 times. Okay, my meditation is over. But then actually meditation is not just counting. If I am just counting, chanting Om Namo Shivaya, but only counting, then my meditation is with the counting, not with Shiva. Is it with Shiva or is it with the counting? Actually, Om Namo Shivaya means I pay salutations to Shiva. This is what it means. So when I say I pay salutations to Shiva, who is that I? If I am body conscious, I'm not really paying salutations to Shiva, because Om Nama, Nama means Namaskar, Namhe means Namrata. It means being very humble. But if you are in an egoistic state and you are, you know, egoistically chanting and then maybe even turning the beads of a rosary or maybe even concentrating on Shiva, whatever. But your eyes are working, your lips are working, your fingers are working, but the mind is wandering. Now mind needs work. That's why Kabir is another very interesting saying. Kar ka man ka pherat yug bhaya. Kar means heart, hands. Kar ke jo man ke pherte na, wo to yug beet gaya. Par phira na man ka pher. Man ka pher phir bhi nahi phira. The mind is still naughty. Ab kar ka man ka chhod kar, man ka pher. To man ka kya hota hai? It's not just chanting. It is really being creative within. And that creativity is explained in Raj Yoga very well. So it's not, it's boring only if you are repeatedly doing the same thing again and again. But Om Namo Shivaya, supposing you are saying it, I pay salutations to Shiva. So first of all, who I am? I have to have that awareness. I'm a soul speaking through this mouth. I'm a soul looking through these ears. I'm a soul hearing through these ears. And so on. I'm a soul doing this. And if I don't want to do it, I can just stop myself because I'm the master of my senses. And then when I'm paying salutations to Shiva, who is Shiva? What is my relationship with Shiva? How am I connected with him? What am I going to attain from him? How will I meet him? If I don't have that enlightenment, then however many times you may say, it's not going to help you. And therefore, Raj Yoga meditation teaches me to have that awareness. And there are some people who say, it's too difficult, chodo. Jab bude ho jayenge na, tabhi ye sochenge. Abhi to jawan hai, khao piyo, moj karo. Lekin it's very, very misbelief to think in this way. That abhi to jawan hai. You know, let me tell you, because some many people think yoga means physical asanas and all that. So many, many old people, they try to shun away from these asanas. They say, bhai, abhi to bude ho gaye, abhi kya karenge, jawan hote to karte. Abhi haddi toot jaye, shirsasan karenge, aur sir yahan kuch ho jaye to, isliye ye sab nahi karna hai. So they don't want to do it. It is for young people. And young people will say, oh, I'll think of it when I grow old. So when will you do it? When will you do it? When you grow old, at that time you will not be able to do anything. And therefore we say it is now or never. And what it is actually nothing very difficult. Just to become aware of the self as a soul and remember the Supreme Soul in all relationships. This is really Raj Yoga meditation. Now what is that? Actually at the time of sorrow we are always remembering God, aren't we? When you have to appear for your exams, you'll go to the temple, you'll go to the church or you'll go to the mosque, whatever. And you'll pray to God for passing you, you know, you will definitely pray. And therefore, you do it, not that you don't. Everyone has his own prayers, no doubt. It's okay. But then, why is the mind not able to connect? Because of three reasons. And Raj Yoga eliminates those three reasons and therefore it's very easy to connect. The first, ignorance is the ignorance of the self. Because it's the soul which is remembering the Supreme Soul. It's not the body. Who's remembering God? Not the body. It's the soul which is having a relationship with the Supreme Soul, not the body. The relationship of the body is with the five elements. When a person dies, the elements have to mix with the elements. The body is cremated or buried or whatever. Because it has come from the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, this body, and it has to go back to from where it has come from. Everything has to go back to the source. So this body has to go back to the source of the five elements. But for the soul we say, Bhagwan ke ghar se aaye hain, Bhagwan ke ghar jana hai. It has come from God, it has to go back to God. So that's the source, and therefore we say soul is connected to God. When a child is born, what do we say? God gave. Now we know how a child is born. No? Physically, we know that very well. But spiritually, it's God who has given the soul. And physically, when one dies, the body is already there. It's dead. It's there in front of our eyes, but still we'll say it's gone. Chala gaya. Chala gaya. Kya chala gaya? Sharir to wahin pada hai. कौन चला गया कहेंगे प्रभु का प्यारा हो गया कौन नॉट द बॉडी बट द सोल सो व्हेन आई अंडरस्टैंड माय सेल्फ एज अ सोल देन आई कैन कम्युनिकेट विद द सुप्रीम बट अगेन इग्नोरेंस ऑफ द सुप्रीम हु इज गॉड सो यू हैव बीन टोल्ड बोथ दीज थिंग्स डे बिफोर यस्टरडे अबाउट द सेल्फ एंड यस्टरडे अबाउट द सुप्रीम नाउ द थर्ड थिंग इज व्हाई द माइंड इज नॉट एबल टू रिमेंबर द सुप्रीम बिकॉज सो मच ऑफ इम्प्यूरिटी फिल्ड इन द माइंड इट्स जस्ट लाइक यू वॉन्ट टू कीप मिल्क इन अ यूटेंसिल बट द यूटेंसिल इज डर्टी विल यू पुट मिल्क इन दैट डर्टी यूटेंसिल वॉट विल यू डू You'll clean it so properly so that the milk remains as milk. Otherwise it can curdle, it can become dirty, you know. You can't drink it if it's put in a dirty utensil. It needs a clean utensil. So the mind has to be very clean if we want to retain the remembrance of the Supreme in the mind. And therefore we need to cleanse this mind. And how do we cleanse the mind? By having pure thoughts. Pure, peaceful thoughts. And these pure, peaceful thoughts will finish all the impurity in the mind. So what exactly is Raj Yoga? It is, the basis is to understand yourself and the Supreme. Just like the child knows whose child he is. So I should know who I am and who my father is. It's so simple as that. And then after that, I can take my mind to the Supreme. So actually, if we take it at a very psychological level, where does the mind really go? You may say my mind thinks too much. It's very speedy. But still, there are some restrictions. The mind does not think of everything. There are billions and billions of people in the world. The mind does not think of those billions. It does not even think of 130 crore people of Bharat. It's not even thinking of the city where you are living. Not even your colony. You don't know anybody. Maybe you don't even know your neighbor. You won't even think of your neighbor because you don't know him. So where does the mind really go? What is the basis for the mind to go somewhere? The first basis is introduction of that one. You are sitting in a train, you are sitting in a plane, or sitting at the airport, or sitting in the station, and you are waiting for the train or the flight, whatever. Now you don't know what to do and there's somebody sitting next to you. So you want to really pass your time. You'll ask that person, where you are going, what do you do, you know all that. You try to take his introduction. And whilst taking introduction, maybe you exchange your cards. That's what you do. So this is what we do in introduction. You take the introduction. So for the mind to go anywhere, the first basis is introduction. The second basis is relationship. Now, whilst introducing yourself to him or he introducing himself to you, you come to know that you are maybe an software engineer and he also is a software engineer. Some relationship, some likeness. And that likeness immediately will attract you towards that person. Immediately. If he is different, you are different, maybe it won't attract you much. In physical world, we see in matter, opposites attract. North will attract south, south will attract north. But in spirituality, likeness attracts. Same thoughts, same feelings, same. That sameness, likeness attracts. That is why when a girl is to get married to a boy, marriage, what do the parents do? They take the janampati, the horoscope to an astrologer and say, Zara dekho, Swami ji ya Guru ji ya Brahman ya Jyotishi, inka yog hai. To yog hone liye kya chahiye? Kya chahiye yog hone liye? There should be some matching. If matching isn't there, some likeness isn't there, then no yoga. So if there's some relationship, definitely the mind will go there. But if no relationship, no likeness, or then the mind will not go there much. It'll finish. Then the third is, after that, love. If there's love, then the mind will definitely go there. You won't even have to think about it. It will go there automatically. And the fourth is attainment. If there's some attainment, some achievement, which prapti, then the mind will not even forget it because there's some attainment. Now all these four bases can be now connected with the Supreme in Raj Yoga meditation. Introduction of Self and Supreme Soul are important for Raj Yoga meditation. Who I am and whom I belong to. Who is mine? Main kaun, mera kaun? That's what we say. And second is relationship of the soul with the Supreme Soul. Actually, human relationships are all temporary. All temporary. They are all based on karmic accounts. Somebody becomes father, somebody becomes a son, somebody's wife, somebody's husband. All are karmic accounts. And when these karmic accounts are over, nobody is really anyone's. They're all souls. And as souls in spiritual relationship, atma, atma, bhai, bhai. You know, that's why we say brotherhood. Brotherhood. As souls, hum sab bhai, bhai hai. Ek pita paramatma ke bachche hai. So when I understand my relationship with souls, I realize that these are all based on karmic accounts. But when I think of my relationship with God, it's not based on any karmic accounts, but it is based on the great deeds done by God or what that I have achieved from that Supreme Being. And on the basis of that, I remember the Supreme Being. When we pray, what do we say? Tvameva matascha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. You are everything to me. Mother, father, teacher, friend, beloved, everything. All relationships. And these are not based on any karmic accounts. No karma. God is beyond karma. But God has performed those deeds with souls, given all that feeling of those relationships. That is why we remember God in all relationships. So now how to do that? And thirdly, love for the Supreme Soul. Today there is no love for the Supreme Soul, it's only selfishness. I pray to God for something and God gives me, I say, okay, oh God, you are great. You gave me, you fulfilled my desire. But tomorrow I have another desire and I pray to God, I don't get it. Oh God, you are very bad because you did not give me. Or sometimes we have dealings with God, we try to have a deal. God, if you do this for me, I will offer some prasad to you. Only if you give me, then I will give you. I will not give you until you give me. What is that? And okay, even if I will give God something, some prasad I'll offer, what I'm offering, is it really mine? Everything belongs to God anyway, isn't it? And you know, when we do aarti, in that aarti what we say? Ye tan man dhan sab hai tera, tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. This body is yours, this mind is yours, this wealth is yours. God, everything is yours. Kya lage mera? Nothing is mine. Everything is yours. So everything is yours, then even what you're offering to God, is that yours? It's His, no? Not His, not yours. So how can I make a deal with God? This is all ignorance again. So why there is really, you know, what is needed is love, but instead of love there's only selfishness. That's why the mind is not able to go to God. And where there is real love, you don't have to ask for anything. The attainments come automatically. If there's a very good relationship between the father and the child, the father will give everything to the child automatically without the son, child asking for it because of love. So if my true love is there for the Supreme, all the attainments will come. Now again, this is a very many things to understand on this. So first of all was introduction of the soul, who I am, I'm a point of light, my attributes are knowledge, purity, peace, love, happiness, bliss, and this is my temporary abode and my permanent abode, and I've come in this world as an actor. So once I understand this, I now have to have the introduction of God. Who is God? So when I say Shiv Baba, what I mean is that point of light, the Supreme Being. And how is a point in form, an ocean in virtues, Bindu me Sindhu hai. And this is such a form which has no dimensions. Like we speak about point in a graph. A point has no dimensions and yet it exists. Infinity has no dimensions, yet two parallel lines will meet at infinity. How much can you measure infinity? You can't. But still we know the definition of infinity as where two parallel lines will meet. And still no measurement. So point has no measurement, infinity has no measurement, still they exist. And this is how we can understand God. And in infinite qualities in an infinitesimal dot. An ocean in a point. Can you think of this form? That's why we say Supreme Soul. That Supreme is also a soul, but Supreme in what? Supreme not in form, but Supreme in qualities. Supreme in His deeds. And therefore, when I understand this, I realize that that Supreme Being, my Supreme Father, is in my Supreme Home. This world is only a stage. It's not even my home. How can it be the home of the Supreme Father? God has to come in this world. His promise that whenever there is decay of religiousness and righteousness, I come. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. I have to descend to finish the irreligiousness and unrighteousness and bring righteousness and religiousness in this world once again. So from where does God come? And from where that God, that Supreme Father comes, that is my home also. So my home is the same as my father's home. A child's address is the same as his father's address. And therefore, when I know my father, my Supreme Father, I am now able to connect. Actually, this connection is eternal. I am always the child of that Supreme Being. But today that connection has been broken. So how will you reconnect? Just like there's light and electricity and mic, everything working because there's electricity. And all of a sudden everything stops. There's darkness everywhere. Now what happened? There's no electricity. But then if we look in the other hall, there is electricity, and in this hall there's no electricity. It means there's something wrong with the fuse. So we have to check the fuse. that meter of this hall. And when we check that meter, we come to that the wire is fused. So how do we connect? How do we connect? If we connect it with the rubber on, the current will not flow. Copper has to be joined to copper, because copper is a good conductor. And the wire, the rubber on top is a bad conductor. And therefore, if I want to connect to get electricity, I must connect copper to copper. Similarly, if I want to connect with the Supreme, there has to be some similarity. You tune in your radio and you want some radio station, you need the same frequency, same wavelength, same meter band from where that station is working, and then you will be able to connect and get that same sound, that voice on your radio station. That connectivity is there. Similarly, if I want to connect, because that's what yoga is, connection, link, joint, communion, communication, there has to be really some likeness. So now in Raja Yoga we understand there's likeness. Three types of likeness. One is similar form. I am a point of light. That Supreme Being is also a point of light. Wo bhi Atma hai, but Supreme, Param. Param in what sense? Knowledge, Param in deeds, Param in virtues, not Param in big in size. Somebody kiske liye kehte ye bada aadmi hai. So bada aadmi does not mean 10 feet tall. Bada aadmi means good, very high position. So when we say Supreme Soul, it's not supreme something in physical size. We have so many types of courts, but we say Supreme Court. It's also a court. We have all MLAs, you know, and then we have the ministers, but then there's a chief minister. We have many MPs, but then we have the prime minister, you know. And therefore we say Supreme Soul as the Supreme Being. But both are alike in form. People are able to get visions of soul and Supreme Soul, light. But you can't immediately know whether it's Supreme Soul or soul, because both are alike. Second similarity is similar qualities. Whatever are the qualities of the Supreme Soul are also the qualities of the self, the soul. And therefore many people say Atma Paramatma ka ansh hai. Soul is part of God. Now what do we mean by saying part of God? Part of God does not mean that you break it into pieces and that soul will become a part of it. You can't break God, can you? But part of God means quantity wise God is the ocean. And the soul cannot be ocean like. But definitely the quality is the same. A molecule will have the same quality as a big, large amount of that element, whatever. So God is the supreme, is the ocean of peace. But I, the soul, am an embodiment of peace. My nature is also peace. God is the ocean of love. I, the soul, also am an embodiment of love. I don't have to ask for love. It's already there within me. So this similarity in the qualities, quality-wise, soul and Supreme Soul are the same. Quantity-wise, so Supreme Soul is infinite in his qualities. But the souls forget their qualities. And the result is we become peaceless because of body consciousness. And third similarity is the same home. So same home, same qualities, same form, now we have to connect. So how will we connect? Very simple. We initiate our mind with positive thoughts. I am a soul, a point of light. My father is a supreme being, point of light. Similarity, you connect. And then the second step is meditation really means to have a heart-to-heart conversation with God. That is the real form of meditation. Third is then you concentrate on each quality of the Supreme. And the fourth is realization, where you are sort of absorbed in that. And as you're absorbed, you're able to take in all the qualities and realize that in you. Now we'll understand further. What is initiation? You're initiating your mind with positive thoughts. So it's not just chanting a mantra. But contemplation on the inner self as a point of light energy radiating positive energy waves. This is how I understand myself. I am a peaceful soul and then I reside in the abode of peace. I am the child of the ocean of peace. Immediately you are radiating pure positive waves of or vibrations of peace. You are yourself that and radiating that around you. And so this is initiation. And the second is meditation, where you are visualizing God the Supreme as a point of light, the source of spiritual energy in all relationships. You see your physical father's photograph, and the moment you see this photograph, you say, oh, he's my father. That feeling of father and I'm the child comes immediately. So I'm a soul and I'm the child of the Supreme. Immediately that feeling comes. And when is the father, then I feel, yes, the love comes also. Whose child I am? The ocean of peace, ocean of love, ocean of happiness, and I am the embodiment of peace, love and happiness. There's similarity, and immediately we connect. And in this meditation, we experience God in all relationships. Now this is another topic of Raj Yoga which you have to learn further in the centers. And in this way there's so much of innovation, so much of newness in our thoughts, how to connect with God as a father, mother, teacher, friend, beloved, also God, your child. You know, you can think of any relationship with God. Human relationships are only one. Maybe your father is just your father. Your mother is only your mother. Your mother can't be your father. Your father can't be your mother. But with God, all relationships with the same one. Because no physical form, no? And I'm also without any physical form. I'm only a soul. And when I'm able to converse in that way, you're talking with the one who will always listen, let me tell you. Human beings may not listen, but God will definitely listen. His mobile is always free to hear you. It's never engaged. There are many lines, don't worry. And you are actually conversing with that one whom you can trust. You can tell your secrets and God will never tell anybody else. Thirdly, you feel secure. It's like, you know, exchanging love with one who will always, who will never exploit you. Who will be so much faithful to you. No, there are many factors and absence of fear, because God is the Supreme. He never punishes. He is the ocean of love. And definitely you will feel very powerful because you are receiving pure energy to renew yourself. You are like making your battery charged again. And for that, you have to go into a state of deep concentration. So when I say I'm a peaceful soul, child of the ocean of peace, and I'm conversing with that Supreme Being, Shiv Baba, you are the ocean of peace and I, your worthy child, am an embodiment of peace, immediately I can concentrate on that Supreme Being who's the ocean of peace. I feel I'm totally absorbed in that ocean of peace. And in this state of concentration, there is purification of the soul. Just like, you know, you have the sun rays and you put a convex lens, the sun rays will focus through that convex lens, and at the focal point, the concentrated rays will create such a powerful image of the sun that the paper will start burning. How does it start burning? Because you have concentrated the rays. Otherwise the rays don't burn the paper. But concentration helps to the rays, you know, and that burns the paper. And definitely Raj Yoga destroys all our sinful actions. That's why God says, keep your mind in me and I will absolve all your sins. So how do I keep my mind in God when I'm aware of who I am and who that Supreme Father is? So when we focus our mind and intellect on the light of God, we catch the concentration of Supreme Being's qualities, light and night. In that silence and stillness of perfect concentration, impurities are burnt. And definitely the result of that will be the realization of the energy flowing into the inner being. And I will become peaceful. Now this is how we meditate. And for that, we understand how the battery of the soul gets charged again. And ultimately, the transformation takes place. The self-awareness, self-contemplation, self-observation, self-analysis, self-control, self-realization, and then self-transformation. Everything in you changes. Your consciousness, your vision, your attitude, your actions, your inner stage, and in this way you can change the atmosphere around you and thereby change the world. And this is our very interesting slogan which we Brahma Kumaris say, self-transformation leads to world transformation. Don't try to transform the world, just transform yourself. And that's possible through Raj Yoga meditation. And so let us practice it for a few minutes. Of course, there are many things more, but then you need another session for that, which is not possible now, but then you can do that at the centers. So just detach your mind from all worldly, mundane things of the world. That's why this golden red light, it's like telling you, your mind, stop. Give a break to all the worldly matters. It's not that you are making your mind blank, but then you have to stop for a while to renew yourself. And therefore, this is helping me. It is energizing me. And I go within. I ask myself, who am I? And the answer comes from within. So it's like an inward journey, then an upward journey, and then an outward journey. Inward journey towards the self, as a soul separate from the body, the master of my senses, like a tortoise curtailing its limbs, I withdraw from the external surroundings mentally and become aware of myself as a soul at the center of my forehead. And then, how I am different from the physical body, I am like, I can fly with the wings of my knowledge, the knowledge which I have of the Self and the Supreme, and I can fly to that abode beyond the five elements. It takes only a second. Just like you're sitting here and you can remember your home. It takes you only a second for the mind to fly there, to your home. So the mind flies away from the five elements in the sixth element of infinite golden red light. That's why we create this atmosphere, to make yourself feel that you're in a world of silence. Totally silent. And I, as a point of light, am in that world of silence. There's silence all around me. I'm a peaceful soul in a world of peace, where I'm beyond any actions, beyond any physical pulls, beyond any karmic accounts, beyond any attractions, beyond everything. But definitely it is not blankness, it is an awareness. And in that state of awareness, I become aware of whom do I belong to? The Supreme, who is a point in form and an ocean in virtues, the ocean of peace, and I, the child, the soul, am an embodiment of peace, and I immediately absorb myself into that ocean and become saturated in that experience, and that's a state of realization. And this realization, even if it lasts for 1 second, it's a great achievement, let me tell you, because it will bring about transformation in you. in your thoughts, your feelings, your attitude and all that. So let us try, maybe just for a few minutes. Withdrawing the self from the pull of the body. I go within. I ask myself, who am I? I give myself the answer. I am a soul. A point of divine energy. Seated between the two eyebrows. I focus my thoughts at the center of my forehead and become aware of myself as an entity separate from the body. I am a peaceful soul. Peace is my nature. I'm eternal. I'm immortal. Imperishable. Indivisible and invisible. I'm a spiritual entity. Self-illuminated soul, a conscient point of divine energy. My home is the eternal home of souls beyond this physical world. Beyond the five elements, in the sixth element of infinite golden red light, I visualize my mind in that infinite world where there's absolute silence. With my mind's eye, I now visualize my Supreme Father, who is a point in divine form and an ocean in virtues. My beloved Shiv Baba, my Supreme Father, the ocean of peace, the ocean of love, the ocean of happiness, the Almighty Father, and I, the worthy child. I am an embodiment of peace. I absorb myself in that ocean of peace, like a drop merging in the ocean. How peaceful I am. I can be lost in God's love, who is the ever truth, the ever beautiful, the benefactor of humankind, the all bestower, and I, the child, have all rights to the qualities of the Supreme. I am very peaceful. Go deep into the ocean of peace and realize your true nature. I have become light and detached. I am surrounded by light all around me. I am powerful and pure. This is the true me, like my Father. Now come back. Come back to the physical world. Back into your body. To perform the physical actions once again, but with a different vision, different understanding, different attitude, because now the awareness has come of who I am and to whom do I belong and why I am in this world. This is Self and God realization. Om Shanti.